Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
We have a new wave of 2028 polls, and there is a lot of movement in the primaries as well as the general election. Democrats are actually cheering because of it, which I think is a little weird because, as I'm going to show you, it's not as good of news for them as they're thinking. Getting to the primaries first, what you see here is Harris. Kamala Harris is in the lead at 30%, where Newsom has gained a lot of ground at 24%, and then AOC is at 10%, Buttigieg at 8%. The rest are really low. You've got Pritzker, Shapiro, Whitmer, very low. I think Pritzker's a horrible, horrible choice. Not surprised he's low. But frankly, Shapiro and Whitmer are very popular governors, and then you've got 18% that are not sure. Underneath that are the Republican polling, and you have Vance at 50%, which is incredibly high. As I pointed out in a previous episode, that's actually higher in many polls than Donald Trump was at this time in the election cycle, I think back in 2021. So that's pretty surprising. After that, you've got Rubio at 9%, Cruz at 8%, Sanders at 4%, and on and so forth. And then not sure is 14%. If you look then at the New Hampshire polls that just came out, the reason why this is important, and then this is why I think it's not as good for Democrats as they think, is New Hampshire is one of the first caucus points, right? And so what happens is, depending on how New Hampshire works, that will make certain candidates drop out. And so even though it may not be the same as the national polls, it's going to have an impact on how it kind of whittles down candidates over time. And what you're seeing right now is that it's actually very different for Democrats in the New Hampshire primaries than in the general. Buttigieg and Newsom are tied in first for 23%. And then below that is actually Pritzker at 9%, AOC, and then Harris at 6%. So again, she was in the lead at 30%, and now she's at 6%. The reason why I think this is so interesting is because it forces Kamala Harris to drop out like she's done in every single other primary, which we'll get into in a second. First, I want to show you the Republican stuff. Vance is at 56% in New Hampshire. DeSantis is at 8%. Rubio is at 7%. And then you've got other people like Gabbard, Liz Cheney, which is laughable. Haley, also laughable. Ramaswamy makes no sense. He's running for Ohio governor right now in 2026. In any case, what you're seeing is Vance, DeSantis, Rubio, which is always what it was going to be. In fact, I'm not even convinced DeSantis and Rubio are going to run at all. Like, Liz Cheney might run, Nikki Haley might run, but they're going to get the 3% that it shows right here. I think because of the New Hampshire caucuses, Kamala Harris is going to run. Because if you look at the general, you know, poll, that looks pretty good. She's going to run, but she's going to lose again in the primary very early on. I think she's going to get torched, which is what happened every other time she's running a primary. It would not be the first major political time for that to happen, but I do think she may be the major political candidate to drop out first in 2028 for the Democrats. And to be clear, I do think she's going to run. There's kind of this speculation right now. Is Kamala Harris actually going to run? She said maybe she might be taking a pause from politics. I think she's taking a pause from politics until 2028. Some are saying she's not going to, but when you're pulling in the lead of 30% nationally, you just run. You just do. I'm sorry, because that's just how political egos work. Where Democrats get into huge trouble with this is when it comes to independents, because obviously independents are going to move the needle for Republicans or Democrats big time. If you look right now at the individual approval rating of each of these political candidates, a very interesting trend reveals itself. And this is one of the points of data where I think Democrats are not paying attention. It looks very, very bad for them. Again, this is approval. This is not polling in an election. And there's some Republicans sprinkled in there. We're going to ignore those for just a second. The most favorable of all the Democrats right now is Josh Shapiro, governor of Pennsylvania. He's a plus 14. And you'll notice the numbers are kind of low, 39 to 25. That's because this is a national approval, and a lot of people just don't know who Josh Shapiro is. I think as more people know who he is, I think he is a formidable political candidate. If I'm a Republican, I am most afraid of Josh Shapiro, really, truly. He's just not that radical. I mean, I think he's kind of more on the radical side, but when you look at who he's up against, like AOC, he doesn't look so radical. And I think people will like how even teal he is and how well he speaks. After that is Pete Buttigieg plus seven. But again, 7-point swing, pretty big for Josh Shapiro. Tim Walz, which is crazy. Andy Beshear, which makes perfect sense. And Gretchen Whitmer. What's interesting about this, though, you'll notice that those with the highest approval ratings are on the lowest of the 2028 Democrat primary polls. And those who are the lowest are in the lead. And how can this be? Because if you look back, I got to show this too. Gavin Newsom is the lowest. And Kamala Harris, short behind. Gavin Newsom is a negative approval rating. Kamala Harris is plus three. I don't know about that. I think Kamala Harris is probably a little lower. However, they're leading most of the polls. And the question is, how can this be? And it's because the Democrat primary polls are just, the people voting in those are just Democrats. But these approval polls that I'm showing are voted on by everyone, which means that the people most likely to be the Democrat nominee are simultaneously the most hated among Republicans and independents. My favorite thing about this show is being able to interact with you guys. That's why I've created my new Substack. Substack is a weekly newsletter that I send out to you. It's completely free to you, and I'm able to actually interact with you a little bit better, talk about things that I just can't talk about because of big tech. So go check it out right now. The link is in the description below. And honestly, I think this is just hilarious because Democrats have this knack for just having the worst possible candidates. They just choose the worst ones. Like they're blowing right past the ones that actually are kind of decent. Like Andy Beshear and Josh Shapiro are formidable forces. You can disagree with them politically, that's fine. But if you watch them speak, it's a little scary. Like they actually know how to talk, whereas AOC and Kamala Harris don't really know what they're saying, and it's very evident when they're on TV doing that. Again, evidenced as well by Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Hillary Clinton. Like, do we really think that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Hillary Clinton were the best that Democrats had to offer? Of course not. But again, it's in reverse. Democrats like to choose the least popular ones on the national scale and the most popular on the Democratic scale. In terms of approval rating for Trump, though, for instance, it's a totally different story. Donald Trump just got a skyrocketing, massive, shocking bounce in his approval ratings. Huge. And this comes from JLL Partners, which considered a pretty reputable pollster, very moderate, maybe just a slight right-wing bias in them. But if you look at their past polling, they've been actually quite accurate. And what you see, these are all the approval polls that they have done for Donald Trump since he came into his second term. You can see he started off very strong. Again, that was in line with most of the pollsters. He's taken small dips along the way, but today he is at 55%, which is fantastic approval rating. I mean, if you're at like 47, I think you're pretty solid, especially on the national scale, because it's just hard to be in power in America. People are very skeptical of politicians, which is a good thing. But 55% is really good. It's a big recovery from 49%, which is the last time that they did this poll. And this points to us, I think, of how people view the two parties when it comes to 2028, really. We had a pretty shocking bit of polls come out this week that Democrats really liked. It's not really hard to see why they liked it. If you look at it, this is in 2028. What you're seeing is that Gavin Newsom is actually leading in these polls. Now, before you kind of write it off and say there's just no way, hear me out for a second. Gavin Newsom beats J.D. Vance by 1%. Gavin Newsom beats Marco Rubio by 5%. And Gavin Newsom beats Donald Trump by 48% to 44%. First off, I just have to say, Donald Trump is not running again. Like he said that himself. He can't constitutionally run. He's not even trying to look for a loophole in the Constitution. So when major pollsters come out and they include Donald Trump, I have to say it does piss me off. Because it's just like Donald Trump can do the trolling. He does the 2028 trolling. Again, he's come out and said he's not going to do it. But when pollsters kind of do the trolling themselves, I think that's stupid because it just lends to what Democrats and, you know, Trump derangement syndrome are saying about, oh, he's going to try to subvert the Constitution. He's not. He said he's not. However, J.D. Vance, who is the presumptive Republican nominee, Gavin Newsom, is actually leading him there. J.D. Vance will be the nominee, barring any huge scandal, whether you like it or not. I've got some reservations about J.D. I know a lot of people who watch this show do. A lot of people also really like him. But the reason that the Democrat celebration, I think, is misplaced, actually, and that these polls are really not a big deal, is that on the same day, we got a poll of just the swing states. Again, that's national. Here is the swing state poll that came out, because that's actually what matters, because the Electoral College is actually how we elect people. 7 swing states, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, North Carolina, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, with leaners, J.D. Vance leads 2%. So, and again, this is from Plymouth Union Public Research, fairly reputable, pretty accurate in their polling in the past. So even if we assume that Gavin Newsom has the popular vote, which again, if you want to write off that poll, I'm not, I'm okay with that. I'm amenable to that in some circumstances. Even with all of that, J.D. Vance wins the Electoral College. Obviously, these polls, people have been very skeptical of the support for Gavin Newsom. I think that skepticism is fair, but I also think that Republicans have to face the reality that Trump's approval ceiling is only so high. You can only go so high with someone. There is a lot of Trump derangement syndrome in America right now. There are many Americans who are deeply deceived by Gavin Newsom, and many would support him over J.D. Vance. I'm sorry, that is true. And the good news is I think as campaigning starts in about a year and a half, that J.D. Vance is going to get more and more popular. I think that this is very similar to Kamala Harris in this regard, is that J.D. Vance is very approachable, very likable, and conversely, I think that Gavin Newsom is not likable at all. And he has a much longer history in politics than Vance does as well, and so he's done some very nasty stuff that's going to come to light when he's campaigning, whether it's in the primary, if he happens to win the primary in the general election. But I think just like Kamala Harris, people are going to like they're going to like Newsom less and less, and they're going to like Vance more and more. That's why I don't ultimately think that Gavin Newsom is going to be the Democrat nominee, but only time will tell. Before we get back to the news, everybody, the progressive left is a cult. I talk all about it in my book, A New Cult, where I talk about how the left has literally done some crazy cultish stuff. I talk about some stories I can't talk about on YouTube, but go check it out right now. The link is in the description below. I think we've all seen enough of Zohran Mamdani by now to understand the trust fund coddled, economically illiterate socialist that he is. But to my surprise, this week, guys, CNN was actually able to press him just a little bit. It was Abby Phillips on his plan for government grocery stores in New York. Take a look.
Why is the government a better solution for a lack of grocery stores, food deserts, than just working with the private sector to have them do what they know how to do, which is run grocery stores? What's your answer to that?
There are more than 1,000 grocery stores in New York City. I'm proposing creating 5 additional ones, one in each borough of New York City that the city would run, and that would guarantee cheaper groceries, not free food, but cheaper groceries. And part of that is because food is a necessity for New Yorkers. It's a necessity for everyone. And yet it's something that people are being priced out of. And we can see the promise and the possibility of a public option. And we've seen in studies that have been done about the applicability of this in an urban setting like Chicago, that this is something we can actually deliver right here in
New
York City.
But there was another example in Kansas City where they had a government-run grocery store, and it's been there for years, but it's on the verge of closing because it doesn't work. They've been riddled with crime. They've dealt with just a lack of inventory. There are other examples where it just hasn't worked because, frankly, the government is not that good at being in the business of being in grocery stores.
Okay, that is the most conservative thing I have heard from Abby Phillips. Not even close, without a doubt. And Zohran Mamdani has no rebuttal whatsoever in that clip. All he says is, yeah, I know it's economically illiterate, but we're going to try it anyway. That's all he says. And they know it doesn't work. It's just about the campaign. It's just about coming up with false promises to excite people to go to the polls. It's about convincing people who know nothing about economics that you're going to give them free things. That's like 90% of politics nowadays. Abby Phillips actually continues by asking Mamdani why he hates capitalism so much. It's a good question, since he's so benefited from it all his life. Take a look.
The United States, you have benefited from this country. This is what your critics say. But you don't support the system, the economic system that perhaps you benefited from. Is that right?
I love this country, and I'm also a New Yorker who has loved this city. And one of the things that I love most about the city are its parks. And its parks and the Parks Department was founded by a socialist mayor of New York City, Fiorella LaGuardia. These are all parts of the same story. And the idea to simplify it as if a critique of capitalism is to be un-American, it speaks to a lack of understanding of the breadth of our history.
To be clear, to hate capitalism is to hate America. America is amazing in part, it's not the whole thing, but it's a large part of it, because of capitalism, because of how amazing capitalism is, and no one exemplifies it more than the United States. Anyone who has kind of adopted that system has done it because of how successful America has been at it. And what Zohran Mamdani either doesn't understand or he's lying to you about is the fact that every social program in New York only works because of the fact that it leeches off of capitalism. That's how it works. Socialism does not produce anything on its own. Assuming his story, well, we'll just assume for a second, his story about LaGuardia is true. I don't really know. I haven't looked into it. The only reason that they were able to build Central Park was by overtaxing a capitalist system that was working incredibly well in New York. New York exemplifies not socialism, but capitalism in many ways. And even still, if they had just hired a private company today to run Central Park, it would be 10 times better. Not only would Central Park be better, but it would also require less taxes, no taxes to be levied on the citizens of New York. There's this fantastic book right now. I've been reading it right now. You probably heard of it. It's by Henry Hazlitt. It's called Economics in One Lesson. And one of the central premises of this book is, and he kind of likes to talk about this repeatedly throughout the book, is that we like to talk about how social programs are free sometimes, whereas a private program is not. But we just decide to not talk about the taxes and the inflation that the social program causes. Like on its face, Central Park is free, but it's really not. If everyone had to pay $1 to enter Central Park anytime you went into it, that pales in comparison to the cost of living and the taxation that they've paid to keep that park there. That's kind of the whole premise behind the book, and that's absolutely true. That's something that Zohran Mamdani and all of his followers and fans don't understand, and that's pretty basic economics. Now, Mamdani knows that communism is not a bit, you know, it's not very strong, even against New Yorkers. You know, New Yorkers can be crazy, but it's not even that popular there. So in a recent interview, he said that he is turning over a new leaf. He doesn't believe in communism anymore. The stuff he tweeted like 5 years ago just aren't part of his campaign anymore. Here it is.
Many of my opponents, chiefly Andrew Cuomo, would prefer to debate a mythical version of myself than the person that I actually am. They would prefer to focus on tweets from 2020 as opposed to the platform of 2025. And they prefer to do that because they know that our ideas are actually popular. And what we are putting forward is a response to New Yorkers' needs that goes beyond the failed ideas and policies that they've heard from these old politicians.
What you're really saying is that those tweets of 2020, you've evolved from that. You've changed from that. You've changed your views.
Yes, that those are out of step with the campaign that we are running. And it's been clear throughout.
But out of step with how you feel.
Yes.
So you've totally changed your mind.
Yes.
The problem with this is he just won't come out and say that he is fully wrong, that he was wrong in the past, and he just is done with all of it. He says things like this. He says, they're not part of my campaign. And then, of course, the natural thing to ask next is like, it's not in your campaign? Why are you going around this? Is it part of you? And then he kind of reluctantly is like, I guess it's not part of me anymore. But you can tell it 100% is, because not long ago, he said that he wants to seize the means of production. Those are his exact words. So we know, you know, we want to know what you actually believe, dude. And I think people do actually know, yet he lies about it because New Yorkers don't actually want communism. Even though Mamdani is not transparent, he is probably going to win this thing. This is according to Polymarket. These are the new odds that just came out. And you can see that Zohran Mamdani has an 83% chance of winning this thing. Andrew Cuomo is really the only person that might be able to do something at 13%. Eric Adams at 2. Curtis Sliwa is at 1. Eric Adams and Curtis Sliwa should drop out. They really should. I mean, Andrew Cuomo is the only one that has a chance. Eric Adams just announced that he's going to stay in this race. Super stupid, if you ask me. Again, his central message that socialism is the key to solving all your problems is gaining a lot of steam right now among a lot of people. That's why his numbers are so high. Gallup actually polled people recently on how they feel about socialism. It's pretty shocking. It's scary. And I think a lot of it is in part due to Zohran Mamdani and his popularity. Bernie Sanders and AOC, of course, take a lot of that blame as well. This is a Gallup poll. You can see it right here. Do you have a positive or negative view of socialism? Positive, 39% say yes. Negative 57%. 39%, you know, it's not a majority, but that's a lot of people. That's way too high. And if you look at the Democrat Party, it's 66% have a positive, highest ever, according to Gallup. So, a super majority, two-thirds of Democrats believe that socialism is a positive thing. GOP's at 14%. That's scary too, frankly. Like, what? What? This weird populist socialist movement in the GOP should be quelled immediately. It's horrible. You can see that ages, you know, the younger ages tend to like a little bit more. Ages 55 plus know that it's stupid because they've actually been taxed in their lives. No college is at 38%, college grads at 47, male 32, female 46. So there's a huge disparity between men and women here. 32% say it's positive, 46% of females say it's positive. And then non-white people say there's also a huge disparity there. 35% of white say it's positive, and 47% say it's positive. Gallup did the same poll, but with capitalism. Again, very scary. Lowest ever for Gallup poll, 54% said positive. How? I mean, that is just terrifying. It is economically illiterate, really historically illiterate. To see that somehow that people think that all of the things that happened in the 1900s with socialism and fascism just don't matter. There's no evidence. Communism does work. No, we've seen it not work over and over and over again. And the disparities here are pretty much the same. You're seeing that white people and men overwhelmingly like capitalism much more than non-white and female. So if you're pro-capitalism, that's the place to work in. It is. It's not to give handouts. That's the big mistake, is that people give handouts to these groups thinking, oh, this will make them more conservative. This will make them more Republican. The Republican Party does this all the time, not realizing that that in of itself is socialism. And people actually don't like that. I talked about it on the show last week. The numbers show in history, when people have gotten huge amounts of welfare, they have felt less economically happy. That was true in 2008. That was true in 2020. That was true in the 1980s with Carter in the 70s. It happens all the time. So scary times, as I've said before, I actually hope that Mamdani wins. The reason why is I want America to see what socialism does in this kind of compact area so that we will reject it in 2028. Thank you so much for watching this episode, everybody. Please like the video so other great patriots like yourselves will see it. And you can tune in every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the live show, or you can watch another video right here.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.